Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
Joining us now on the Say Tama Hotline, he covers the NFL for ESPN. Bill Barnwell, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, sir, going well. I know you're a busy, very busy man as we come down to the final home stretch here for the NFL season. But before we talk about the championship games this weekend, I want to ask you this. Did you see the Sean Payton news coming?
There were rumors. But then again, there are rumors sometimes, and sometimes it turns to be absolutely nothing. There was some talk about some veteran coaches considering retiring, but it was one of those things where I wasn't shocked when I heard it, but I was surprised. Sean Payton's still doing great work coaching at a high level. I mean, nearly took a team that was quarterbacked by Jameis Winston and Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill and Ian Book to the postseason. So certainly still doing his job at a high level, certainly still a playoff caliber team there, but could understand. I mean, they pushed to make a Super Bowl, and you could see being burnt out after the last few years.
Where does New Orleans go from here, Bill? I mean, is it a situation where they need to maybe secure a franchise quarterback first, or do they go get the coach and then try to go land the best quarterback they can?
Yeah, I feel like they probably start with the coach, and I think they have a significant candidate there in Dennis Allen. I know he didn't do great work with the Raiders his first time as a head coach, but, I mean, you know, turn that defense around and really did a great job of sort of solidifying himself as a legitimate, you know, top-tier NFL defensive coordinator. And I think that you have to really consider what this team's going to be. I mean, think about what they have right now. They have a great defense that's all sticking around pretty much outside of maybe Marcus Williams. They have Alvin Kamara. They have a great offensive line. They have Taysom Hill, who's, you know, even though Sean Payton's kind of still left in, I think a reasonable salary for 2022. I mean, I think this is going to be a run-first football team, and I think you have to build your roster accordingly. You know, I would love it. I think if they go out and get Aaron Rodgers, I think they would do that 10 times out of 10, but given their cap constraints, given their roster construction, I wonder if they would go for someone like maybe a Teddy Bridgewater, where he's not going to cost as much and he's going to kind of hold the defense of the bargain, a beloved guy in that locker room in the city of New Orleans, and the guy who's not going to cost as much and maybe help you build a better roster around that quarterback than some of these higher-end options who might not even be available.
What do you see in Sean Payton's future?
I see him making a lot of money on television, and good for him. Hey, I mean, certainly, you know, he seems like a very astute guy. And then I think after that, I mean, everyone's thinking about the Cowboys job. And, it's unfortunate for Mike McCarthy. He probably is going to be in a very difficult position next year. But I think certainly the Cowboys have wanted Sean Payton for a long time. It's been no secret to anybody in the NFL. So I would expect that to happen at some point, whether it's 2023, whether it's 2025, whether it's 2030. I would expect at some point Sean Payton to end up back with the Dallas Cowboys.
We're joined by Bill Barnwell, ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Bill Barnwell. And Bill, this is just another move in the NFC South. It's a team, again, going through a transition, the Saints with their cap restraints, with the change of quarterback, with the need to find a franchise quarterback. You've got Tampa with Tom Brady possibly sailing off into the sunset, and then you've got Atlanta still a few years away, at least on the defensive side, along with all the problems with the Carolina Panthers. But when you look at all the upheaval, you look at the players involved, which team can you see making the most of the next couple of years of coming out on top and maybe establishing a place of, if not dominance, being better positioned to win the conference each year?
I still think Tampa. You know, I do think that Rio's probably going to be Tom Brady next year. I mean, I've heard the rumors. The rumors are significant to me, given that, he's been a guy who's consistently said, hey, I'm sticking around. I'm not going anywhere. This is the first time there's been some doubts about Tom Brady's future, which is, I think, really fascinating. And I still think, though, given how much talent they have on defense, how much their talent have on the offensive line, they have a receiver, even if they lose Chris Godwin, even if they lose Gronk, I still think, even if they're not quite as impressive, on paper as they were this season, still think there's a lot to like there. And I think that a lot of people are going to want to play in Tampa Bay. I think Bruce Arians is going to be a coach quarterbacks are going to want to play for. They're going to have options even if Tom Brady does retire. So to me, I would look at the Bucs as maybe the team over the next couple of years. I still think they're going to hold on and be the best team in the NFC South.
Carolina Panthers finalized a deal with Ben McAdoo to be offensive coordinator earlier this week. And I'm wondering, how much is this going to be dependent upon the future of Matt Rhule? How much does Matt Rhule's security in Charlotte depend upon Ben McAdoo's ability to not only have a good offense, but to continue to develop Sam Darnold?
I think it's certainly going to play a significant amount. I mean, you have to figure that David Tepper's not happy with these first couple seasons in Carolina. Matt Rhule, I mean, you know, has had the time, a couple years now, certainly could, I think it deserves another year, but certainly time to build this roster, build this team in his image, and that team has been very good. I mean, this team did not have to go out and get Sam Darnold. They traded for Sam Darnold, traded multiple draft picks to get Sam Darnold, guaranteed his fifth-year option. You know, they're in this situation because they thought they could turn him around, and they couldn't. And I would certainly be skeptical. I mean, there's certainly head coaches out there who have been lucky enough to have it happen, but Matt Rhule signed Teddy Bridgewater. That deal didn't work out. Matt Rhule traded for Sam Darnold. That deal didn't work out. I don't know how many head coaches in the NFL who have not had a lot of success so far get an opportunity to sort of go after a third head coach, or sorry, a third quarterback to take over as their starter. It's a pretty short list, so I think Matt Rhule deserves some time. I think he deserves this third season, but unless they have another option available to them, a quarterback, they're going to have to make it work with Sam Darnold. And I think that's really what Ben McAdoo is going to be there to do, is sort of sink or swim with Sam Darnold as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you exactly. What are the Panthers getting with Ben McAdoo?
I mean, if any guy who's worked with successful quarterbacks before, certainly Aaron Rodgers, you know, had impressive seasons with Ben McAdoo as quarterback coach. Now, granted, I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers could have had a great season in 2014 with me as his quarterback coach, but I would have looked pretty good with that guy as my quarterback. And he did get, you know, sort of coax a couple good seasons of Eli Manning towards the very end of his career before Eli kind of dropped off and wasn't really a playable quarterback anymore. And we saw, once he was the head coach there, you know, one good season, but then the offense kind of collapsed. And certainly the roster kind of collapsed around him. He wasn't able to sort of deal with it and got fired as a result. This is a guy who was a very exciting candidate a couple years ago. And I know that, you know, it's easy to sort of pick on the worst moment we've seen from these head coaches and sort of say, okay, well, that's what they're going to be. But think about how many head coaches have been sort of a problem as the head coach but been great as an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. I think of Wade Phillips is the classic example, a guy who has a head coach. So I was a little concerned. Wasn't always the best head coach, but as a defensive coordinator, man, so good year after year. And I think with McAdoo, you know, I'm optimistic. You know, I think he's better than maybe we remember, given that most of our memories of him are as that head coach flailing towards the very end of that season in 2017, I should say, with the New York Giants.
Bill, there are lots of openings still in the NFL, and of course we hear the same names mentioned over and over and over, and one of the names we continue to hear is Eric Bieniemy, but apparently Eric Bieniemy is doing something in the interviews to not get hired. What the heck is holding up Eric Bieniemy from being a head coach?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure. You know, I certainly feel like we have seen people with his resume, or with lesser resumes than Eric Bieniemy, get head coaching jobs. I mean, you know, Matt Nagy with the Bears was certainly given an opportunity to be a head coach. We've seen Adam Gase, you know, get two head coaching jobs after coaching with Peyton Manning and the Broncos. I feel like, you know, something is missing here. And you know, we can talk about certainly the NFL's track record of hiring coaches of color is pretty problematic and not very impressive. And, you know, I just think it's one thing to sort of sit here and wonder, okay, well, you know, is he calling plays? Is he doing this or that? I mean, how many people in that organization have given Eric Bieniemy glowing reviews and said, okay, this guy is qualified to be a head coach? You know, I think at the end of the day, given how bad the NFL is at hiring coaches, you know, wherever color they are, you know, I'd be listening to the people who work with that man every day, more so than an interview, more so than what he's going to say in a press conference. You know, I think, what does he do? How hard is he working? How well does he work with the people around him? That's the stuff that's going to matter when you're in a building, not what happens in an interview, not what happens in a press conference. And I think that Eric Bieniemy, you know, has certainly been given the sort of has the qualifications, has the experience, and has the, you know, the sort of resume that would make you think he is overdue and overqualified for a head coaching job at this point.
We're joined by Bill Barnwell, ESPN. And Bill, just a couple more questions. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you talk about a journey this year. I've talked about it on here. I've spoke about it on here, how he's just kind of changed in my eyes. He went from being, you know, kind of a smart guy who went about his business, said a few confrontational things or rather controversial things here and there. But this year, man, totally different ball game. And of course, we had the whole immunized situation. And now there's a report out that he's saying people were rooting against the Packers because of that scenario. First of all, I want to get your take on that. And then second, I want to ask you, where do you think Aaron Rodgers will be playing in 2022, if he's playing at all?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the whole thing has been such a mess. I mean, and you know, I think a mess that Aaron Rodgers has made for himself. And unfortunately, you know, whatever decision he wanted to make about his vaccination status, obviously he's open to making that choice. And you know, he tried to be a little sly about it and got caught, and that happens. And we've all been there before, maybe not with this public of a situation, but we've all tried to maybe be a little sly about something and then get called on it. It's not the most fun feeling, and could see how that would be frustrating for Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, the guy's going to win MVP. I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's been an up-and-down year, but the ups have been bigger than the downs. And I know that the last game of the year was very frustrating. Aaron Rodgers did not play his best football. The Packers did not play their best football on offense. But I think I would say that I can't imagine him not coming back given how good they were this year. And I can't imagine the Packers not bringing him back given that he's going to be the back-to-back reigning MVP. I mean, it's just crazy to me to think that the Packers would trade Aaron Rodgers. And what would they even get in return? You know, a bunch of draft picks? That's not going to help a team that's built to win now. They have so many veterans on that roster. I just think it makes the most sense for Aaron Rodgers to run it back, get another shot in 2022, bring back Devontae Adams on a long-term deal, and at least one more time try to win the Super Bowl. So to me, I think Aaron Rodgers is back with the Packers in 2022.
Let's put a bow on it like this then. Let's make it appropriate then. We talked earlier about Sean Payton, and we talked about Mike McCarthy. Almost exact same resumes when you break it down, same number of playoff appearances. McCarthy actually had one more appearance in a conference championship game. Each won a Super Bowl. Each had a generational quarterback, one with Drew Brees, the other with Aaron Rodgers. I think Mike McCarthy might be getting a bad deal.
That's fair. I mean, you know, I feel like we base a lot of what we see from head coaches on their demeanor on the sideline, how smart they seem, you know, their attitude towards stuff, their press conferences, and that stuff doesn't matter all that much. You know, I certainly think you can sit here and look at what Mike McCarthy's done late in games and ask some questions. I think that's absolutely fair to say. But wins are wins. I mean, they still count at the end of the day. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, certainly was helped along by Mike McCarthy. Now, granted, at some point that relationship might have soured, but at the very beginning, Mike McCarthy was there making Aaron Rodgers a better quarterback, and that was when Aaron Rodgers won his Super Bowl. So I think Mike McCarthy does get a bad rap. I think he has his limitations, but I also think he does some things right, and I think that it's easier to see the things that maybe he struggles with than to see the things that he does well.
Good stuff from Bill Barnwell. You can follow him on Twitter at Bill Barnwell. Bill, appreciate you joining us this morning, bub.
Thanks so much.
All right, it's Bill Barnwell joining us on the Saitama Hotline.